That's the sound of the horn. Welcome to an all-new ninth season of Clipcast. I'm your host, Chris Wilde, with me cackling in the background all the way from his home office in downtown Burbank. It's Burbank Hank, everybody. Henry Dittman.
Clippers win!
The Clippers win!
But it was kind of scary there because the Lakers took the lead at some point.
No, they never.
They tied.
They tied two times. I think it's 75-75 was the last tie that
They tied two times, I believe. The Clippers jumped out to a 5-0 lead, and they rarely looked back. Amazing win. Woo!
Oh, so great. And that, like, I just, you know, we have to dip our toes into that horrible second quarter where we scored
two points in
the first half of the second quarter, but still led. That's how much we just clocked and cleaned the clock of the ring ceremony L-word, who just looked winded. Oh, my gosh. How about butter? Sweet, sweet butter. Paul George, so smooth, went like 10 points in a row. There's so much we got to talk about.
Let's start how we felt. Why don't we start with what we felt about the game before the game? We talked about it today. We both were of differing minds. Let's get really – I'll get honest. I'm ready to eat my crow.
You told me you thought the good guys were going to lose.
I was worried we would lose, and I thought if I had to bet money on it, I would bet that we would lose a close one. I was really scared. I thought the ring ceremony, which, by the way, there's no upside to this pandemic situation, but if there were, it's that we did not have to be in attendance for that ring ceremony. Am I right?
I'm telling you, if someone said, all right, here's the deal. The L word, the stinking stupid L word, are going to win a championship, but they are the only team to win a championship in front of zero fans with these weird videos where people just don't understand how to take videos with their phone. Like, it was odd looking up into the nostrils of LeBron James's uncles and mother. I'm like, hold the camera higher. What are you doing? Anyway, it was very awkward.
Wait a second. I wouldn't know because I didn't watch it.
Smart. You're smart. I just kept pressing fast forward, but I was watching live television.
It didn't work because you were watching live television. Listen,
so
man.
So did you think they were going to ride high off of their bubble championship and their ring ceremony?
Not only that, but they are running the same offense with the same coach, with the same two stars, and you could have argued before the game that you throw Marc Gasol in there. And I know a lot of people are kind of going, oh, but he's old. But the truth with Marc Gasol is that he's a great defender and an amazing passer. And so now he's passing to two guys who drain shots, to Anthony Davis, who's shooting 83% from three in the preseason, and they're telling him to shoot six threes a game. We've lost Montrezl Harrell. We've brought in some good pieces, but we're running a completely new offense.
So fun on Montrezl Harrell.
With basically two new starters tonight because Marcus Morris is out. So we had Batum starting and we had Ibaka starting. And I felt like those things all considered, we were going to lose a close one. And man, was I ever wrong. Because not only did we not lose a close one, we won and it wasn't close.
Here's what you didn't see when you didn't watch the ring ceremony wisely. Jeannie Buss got out there and literally listed a laundry list of guys that are no longer on the team. And so you're sitting here telling me, oh, here's why I think the good guys are going to lose because they've got these returning guys with a returning coach with a returning system. But I didn't realize because, you know, my son, I'm watching the game with my son. He's asking me all these questions about the L word. And I'm like, I don't know the answer, son. I know the answer to every question about every Clipper. I just don't know or care about the L word. So I'm sitting here watching Jeannie Buss say, and you know, can't be here. Rajon Rondo, JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard, Danny Green. I mean, she literally listed at least five, six guys, and four or five of those guys, with the exception of DeMarcus Cousins, were real key pieces what was working for the L word in the bubble. And then you look at the Clippers. The Clippers, yes, Hank, Nicholas Batum is a new guy, but he's got a chip on his shoulder with a lot to prove because he underperformed in Charlotte. And you add that spice of Serge Ibaka, who is Kawhi Leonard's friend. I didn't know cyborgs could be programmed to have friends, but Kawhi Leonard's master programmer.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Steve Jobs or Al Gore when he created the internet.
It was Steve Ballmer. But, what is wrong with you? It's right there. That joke was right there in front of you.
It was right there in front of me.
You left money on the table.
When Ballmer programmed Kawhi Leonard at Microsoft Laboratories, he programmed him to have a friend, and that friend is Serge Ibaka. Now, I'll tell you, I just want to get right to the Clippers because obviously I don't want to talk about
Wait a second. I want to say one more quick thing in response to that. I was not wrong in that Schroeder double-doubled. He was two assists away from triple-doubling.
Is it Schroeder
yeah.
or Schroeder?
I think it's Schroeder. Whatever, man. Who cares? But he
Well, no he, point could be Schroeder.
He was only two assists away from a triple-double and Montrezl Harrell double-doubled. So their new pieces really worked.
Yes.
It's just that we worked better. But go ahead.
I have friends, sadly. I was programmed to have friends as well who are L-Word fans, and they were texting me throughout the game. And these guys are excited about Schroeder
He's great.
And they were very excited about Montrezl Harrell. But I'll tell you something. The Clippers had a 10-point lead. Montrezl Harrell steps on the floor for the L-Word, and the Clippers' lead balloons up to 20. Another point in the game.
Yeah, that's telling, isn't it? We know that, Harrell.
We know that, Harrell. And Harrell was very good in a losing effort.
Oh,
unlike
buddy,
the bubble.
Buddy,
where...
wait a second. He was didn't you see that decisive block against one of the smallest players on our team? He was amazing. He really went up there and contested the smallest guy.
The 6 foot, maybe one guy.
Who then,
maybe
who then turned around for back-to-back rebounds surrounded by four Lakers jerseys. We'll get there. We'll get to all this, everybody. This
but
is just
my favorite follow-up,
right
by
now.
The way,
yeah.
was Montrezl Harrell blocks itty-bitty Pat Beverly, right? And just it gets in his face. The very next play, Montrezl Harrell cannot block Ivica Zubac's 7 foot slam dunk down the hole. Look, all right, so here's what I want to talk about Clippers basketball right now. Just get right into it, Hank.
Yeah.
Who impressed you the most? Who let you down the most? Or who did you think, wow, this guy needs more than what he's showing me? Who impressed you the most? Who let you down the most?
Well, listen, I'm not looking at box scores, right? That's not what I'm looking at right now. I'm just talking about the game. So first of all, in the first half, what impressed me the most was the 1-2 punch of Kawhi Leonard and Serge Ibaka. They were very quickly, I want to say 13 points for Kawhi Leonard in the first half and Serge 11. And they were our only two players in double digits. The Lakers at that point had Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and I want to say Schroeder, whatever the hell it is, in doubles.
DS.
But at that point, Paul George only had 9 points. And so, first of all, that's the first thing I want to look at is the Serge Ibaka, Kawhi Leonard tandem to start the game.
You loved it.
Serge Ibaka just was consistently there on D, consistently there making shots. Man, what a great add he is, and what a great thing having him as our starting center. Holy cow.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then Ivica Zubac coming off the bench and being a monster off the bench with great energy, great height, great power. We didn't have that. We had the great energy with the old backup center Montrezl, but we did not have the great height. So
Wait a second.
I love Nicholas Batum, by the way. Yeah, Nicholas Batum hitting his very first three. I just absolutely loved it. Oh, bingo.
We like that. That's the eye test, right? But listen, speaking of Zubac coming in, honestly, when he came in leaping in the air, tapping a defensive board out and then running to the other end and draining a shot, I thought, this is the first thing I thought, and I almost texted you. I started texting you, man, Luke Kennard can jump. Ivica Zubac is so lean. He doesn't look like the same guy, man. His conditioning is going off the charts.
Yeah, he's getting leaner. He's getting stronger. You're absolutely right, Hank. That is an astute observation.
I got you the first time.
Okay, but you're absolutely right. He's leaner and he's meaner and he's stronger. So you're immediately impressed when you're watching the game of Serge Ibaka and Kawhi Leonard back, those buddies. You're immediately impressed with how lean and mean Ivica Zubac was off the bench. I agree. Lou to Zu for two. I love that.
And I got I got a yay boo, although it's going to be a boo yay.
Okay, talk to me.
In the first half, it was Paul George. I was kind of watching him going, man, he's not really making shots. He's not really in this game. And then holy wizards, did he get into the game in the
third
second
quarter.
Half, man.
Third quarter.
Holy cow. Bananas.
He went from 12 points to 22 points real quick. He had 10 points back to back for the Clippers.
He scored 10 straight points in the third quarter for the Clippers.
Oh, so good. Yeah, and that was exactly
straight.
What we needed.
And literally,
what we needed.
And literally the commentators for something like 20 minutes of game time were just like, oh my gosh, there's Paul George for 20 points. I mean, there's Paul George for 20. Sorry, there's Paul George for 25. Ah, there's Paul George for 30 points. I mean, he,
smooth butter.
And at that moment, you remember Paul George saying, I feel like I owe this team a championship. And man,
oh,
did
wow.
he look nice. He looked
yeah,
nice.
He did.
And there was this moment that I'm so mad about. I'm so mad.
You're hot.
We finished it. I'm hot about this, man. We
you have max heat
Thank
over this
goodness
moment.
That this is not a game that we were watching and drinking at the stadium and then coming home to Clipcast, because this would be an explicit podcast.
Uh-oh, watch out.
Kenny Smith, at the end of the game, was asked, what did you learn about the Clippers?
Okay.
And Kenny Smith comes through saying, literally, what did you learn about the Clippers? Literally, we just whooped the champs. And he says, I mean, you know, it's only one game. There's a lot of game
it's
to go.
One game.
And LeBron,
just one
and
game.
Then he says this, and LeBron didn't even play the last 3 minutes, so what can we even tell? He didn't play the last 3 minutes because we were beating their butts. Like, get out of here, Kenny Smith. And while he's saying that, while he's saying that, I want to say it was one of the other guys, I don't remember which one it was, says, well, we've got Paul George waiting right now to talk to us. And they literally cut to Paul George sitting there with the freaking headphones on listening. It was this is disgusting. We just beat them. And all you're going to talk, we just beat the champs.
Well,
they didn't get a lot of rest. They didn't get a lot of rest after
70
what?
Days.
A 9-week season? They didn't get a lot of rest?
70 plus. I love that. Oh, this is the shortest interim in between any professional sport. I'm like, 3 full months? Okay, maybe not 3
Two
full
months.
It was
Two
72
months.
Days.
2 months and also
72
by, and
days.
By the way, it was right after a short season. I understand
yes,
they were in
was.
The bubble, but like, on top of that, here, how about this? What did you learn about the Clippers? Oh, maybe the Nuggets aren't the second best team in the West. Oh,
no.
Maybe they're really good. Oh,
yes.
Maybe Paul George had 2 shoulder surgeries and now he's well. How about any of those things instead of we didn't learn anything because LeBron James didn't play because we're beating their butts. Sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
And Shaq, Shaq said that he can't say anything about the Clippers until they prove that they can win in the playoffs.
Okay.
So unfortunately,
Fine.
Hank, we are now one game closer to going to the coveted, my bowl call, 72-0 season. That's about to happen.
You're doing
okay?
it again.
You can't
Every
go 72-0.
Clippers
without,
fans.
No, for the record, I have never called 72-0 ever. Ever
okay.
on Clipcast
okay.
or anywhere
fair.
For that matter.
That's fair. So anyway,
but
that,
we're going to have to hear that.
I was not happy about that, especially because Paul George was the most dominant player in this game. If you take
easily.
And his
and Kawhi Leonard also looked great.
On
Did
some
anyone
dumb amount of shots too? Like again, I'm not looking at the box score because I'm frankly was so thrilled.
I
want to
say he was 13 for 18, Hank.
I mean,
for 33.
You had 33 points on 18 shots.
That's
like,
crazy.
Get out
dude.
Of here! Like that's not
get
what
out.
You and that's what you learn. Nothing.
And you're about to interview him, and you just say, "Oh, it's just one game." And LeBron didn't even play the last 3 minutes, you know, because they were getting blown out.
I mean, I'm
by
not their tech director.
Team.
I'm not their tech director, so what do I know? Maybe Paul George wasn't live, but you know he was. You
May
know
I
he was.
Ask you something, Hank.
Ugh.
Why aren't you their tech director? And isn't it time you start tech directing?
You know what?
Inside the NBA,
you know, a lot of people will say that it's like almost more work for me to not be a successful
be a
NBA
top tech
director.
Tonight on Tech Director Cast.
Oh boy. So anyway,
all right, so who,
that made me
who,
hot.
Who disappointed you or
no
who
one.
Made you say, "Uh-oh, we need work?"
No one.
Oh, really?
No one
oh,
did.
Really?
I mean, even Lou Williams, who was fine. He was
I
fine.
Loved Lou tonight.
He was fine tonight. I liked him tonight. He was nice. But even Lou, like there was a moment where now I'm forgetting. Like that there was a moment where he missed a key shot when we were like it was really close. And
okay.
then he hustled. I'm checking my notes. Maybe I'll find
him. Oh, yes.
Saying
hustled
this.
Back on D
he
and got in the way of the pass.
Hustled back on D and got in the way. And I was like, this is the guy who everyone is saying does not play defense.
Defense.
And man,
yeah, you're right.
He did. He did. And look, listen, man, we also did this game one of last season, right? We did this game one of last season.
Yes.
We blew the Lakers out hard to get started.
But and then man, we won I a like nail biter it. On Christmas for two wins in a row on the regular season. And then they won two in a row to split the season series 2-2.
Yeah, but the entire team disappointed me in the second quarter. We just were very fortunate.
Oh,
we were,
brutal.
We were fortunately playing nice defense. And the Lakers, like in a point where we went 1 of 11, they went 2 of 10. So it's that was nice.
I'll tell you, in the preseason, which obviously you have to take everything with a grain of salt because Ty Lue, I want to talk a lot about Ty Lue. I read a wonderful article about Ty Lue written by Andrew Greif for the LA Times. I tweeted it out. So go to @LAClipcast and you scroll down the timeline. And I tweeted it. I retweeted Brad Turner tweeted it out. So anyway, look for that Andrew Greif LA Times article on Ty Lue. And I want to get into that. But before that, Ty Lue is undefeated as a head coach for your Los Angeles Clippers, which I love. But what my takeaway from preseason, again, take it with a grain of salt. We went 0-3. It literally doesn't matter. It's exhibition basketball in a wonky preseason where we literally were about to cut like five guys. And he was putting guys in that were playing for their careers. And a lot of them didn't quite make it. But what really was a red flag for me was Lue to Zoo was very messy in the preseason.
Yeah.
And the first three passes were all botched and fumbled. And I go, And so that was a big thing that I was looking for that I saw tonight that impressed me. Lue to Zoo for two is something we're going to see a lot of, and I loved it. And I think that's going to be a wonderful 1-2 punch off the bench. Now, my new red flag.
Yeah, that was early. That was like, or I shouldn't, this wasn't early. It's like halfway through the first quarter. I remember that. And I went, this is nice.
It's
and
nice.
And that was for a 20-point lead, P.S.
Yes, when they came in and we went bench for bench, we extended our 10-point lead to 20-point lead.
Yeah, yes.
But I think the guy that raised a couple of red flags for me tonight, sadly, was the big contract guy, Luke Kennard, did not blow a lot of wind in my Clipper sales. He did not impress me tonight, and I want to be impressed because you and I were texting back and forth. I believe you told me that Kennard's contract is much better than the Montrezl Harrell contract over down the hall. And obviously, look, we did not want to pay Montrezl, and we basically sent him walking. And he wanted to come back, and we were like, tough. But Luke Kennard needs to do better. He did not impress me tonight. What did you think of Duke and Luke Kennard?
Well, I mean, look, he did pull a triple single. I get two.
You're like, I don't have the stats in front of me.
Two
I don't have the stats in front of me. He may have had a quadruple single.
Two rebounds, two assists, 4 points. No, not great. Not great for Luke Kennard. He is. We're gonna have to see. It is a bit of a puzzler. It was $64 million over 4 years, and I want to say Montrezl Harrell at the Lakers got $18 million over 2 years. But there is some question. When I heard about that contract, the first thing I thought was he hasn't played yet, and we're signing him to this big contract. So is this the team saying, hey, Kawhi, we're looking long term. We got Paul George long term. We're locking up these guys. Does Kawhi really like this guy? I don't know.
I thought it said the team believes in this guy, and I actually would very much love to also believe in him.
Yeah, well, dude. Well, we also
he just
got him.
Did not hit a lot of shots.
We traded away Shamit and Magruder.
Whoa. Now, you just said you weren't going to use foul language.
Sharnet. I'm sorry. I'm sure.
Boozing. Okay.
Landry Sharnet, who is very inconsistent for us and, you know, frankly, got COVID because he went into an ice cream shop in the sweet, sweet South Bay without a mask, like a turd bird.
Right. And licked all the teens scooping ice cream.
I said he went into an ice cream parlor. I think you know what he did, and that's it.
he teen licked.
I said he went in there. We let go him and Magruder, and we got Kennard and a grip of picks. We got something like 3 or 4 second round picks,
right? Yes,
which
yes,
we had
yes.
given up all these picks, right, to get Kawhi and especially to get Paul George.
Paul George.
So we kind of got him he was a nice get. The only issue for him is his knees. This is the concern with him. I want him to be shooting better. of course. I'd like very much for him to be shooting better, but
I read something about him where he's like, guys, I'm going to play better. I haven't played great yet. And this is like after three preseason games, and it really impressed the guys. And I'm like, okay. And then so I'm watching him play. I'm like, are you going to impress me now?
No, not yet. Not yet. But buddy, listen, everybody doesn't, let's look to, everybody doesn't have to be great every night.
I'll tell you what. You know what really I mean? He doesn't. Ty Lue's coaching impressed
me. Yeah, talk about Ty Lue. Talk about him.
That second quarter, we couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. And even the commentators talked about how Ty Lue has already gone 11 deep in the lineup. Yeah. So Ty Lue, unlike Doc, is not afraid to go deep into his bench and try new guys out there. Pat Patterson didn't have a great night. Hopefully he'll be back soon. I think Luke Kennard will find his shot and really impress us. But when I read this article about Ty Lue, man, there is no respect on this man's name. He was a head coach three seasons, a conference champion every season he was a head coach. He got to the NBA Finals every season he was a head coach. He was an NBA champion head coach after facing a down 3-1 deficit, which we all know. Yes, he had LeBron James, but LeBron James will tell you Ty Lue is an excellent coach. And here's what I learned about Ty Lue that I had no idea about, thanks to the great sports journalism, which is another topic I want to touch upon, by Andrew Greif. Ty Lue, our head coach, again, I'm going to say this to you again. This is his fourth season as a head coach. His previous three head seasons, he was a conference champion coach, got to the finals 3-3. Okay, so let's keep that going. He has a near photographic memory.
Really?
He can remember plays from games that he played in high school. He looks at game tape and doesn't have to study it because he remembers watching it live, almost down to the exact minute. He knows what everyone on the court is doing. He's like a beautiful mind out there. I did not know this about Ty Lue, and it sounds like you didn't know it either. Ty Lue has a very near photographic memory, so he doesn't have to overanalyze game tape over and over and over. He sees it once, he gets it, it's in his memory. He's going to remember that for like ever.
Ooh.
He remembers key plays from when he was in high school. It was a great article. Seek this article out. Andrew Greif, Ty Lue, LA Times. Seek it out. It's on our Twitter page. It's on Andrew Greif's Twitter page. It's a great article.
That's fun.
And the guy doesn't get the credit he deserves.
Good.
And tonight, good. Absolutely.
We're back under the radar. I don't mind it, man. We're getting no love, and that's fine with me. And we'll get no love after tonight. I guarantee you, I'm not even going on Twitter because, like, I know that everyone's just coming up with dumb excuses, but the truth is we won. And the truth is we won with a brand new coach and a brand new system, not just some new role players, but legitimately new system and starting two new guys because we had one guy out. Like, get out of here, man. We whooped them.
I think everyone saw us go 0-3 in the preseason. They literally thought it mattered. I think they thought that the preseason mattered. It doesn't.
But Kawhi Leonard was not great last preseason either. And P.S., now this argument goes either way, right? This argument goes either way. We didn't play that many preseason games, so everybody's still figuring it out, except that LeBron James and Anthony Davis were super dominant in the bubble. In the run of the playoffs, super dominant, and they're still there. And we were super disappointing. Our stars and everybody were super disappointing in the bubble. And man, we came out hot tonight.
Yes,
and
I do think the bubble was an anomaly. You look at the Milwaukee Bucks, the best team in NBA basketball. They get shuttled out of the second round. They can't do it. Even though they had the most wins in the regular season, they couldn't do it. Clippers, second most wins in the West, couldn't do it. I hope that the bubble was an anomaly. I hope that this championship L-word team was an anomaly. I love the fact that it was tied 75-75, and here come the champs on their special night at home with their big, gaudy, oversized, gross, chunky ring pop rings, and they couldn't get it done because LeBron came out there, AD came out there, and these guys could not beat Paul George. They could not beat Kawhi Leonard. They couldn't beat Pat Bev, Ivica Zubac, Serge Ibaka. Our team as a whole, the entire team, the squad, looked great. And I think Lue Will has a lot to prove because he was a bubble bust. He looked good, man. He looked like that sweet Lou that we know he can be and is, that prolific scorer. And man alive, Paul George put on a show. 30 points, 18 shots to get 30 points. That four-point play, tears of Christmas joy streaming down my cheeks, Hank.
I'm going to make you cry again.
I'm
going
to
make you cry again. You're going to like this. Do you know what the top three scoring starters of the Lakers combined score was as compared to the top three leading scoring starters of the Clippers was?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I mean,
the
Lakers
was
AD are in there.
Yep. LeBron James and Dennis Schroeder. Okay, that's and who I'm telling you, people are gonna love this guy. He's great. He was great with OKC.
Sure. Dennis Schroeder,
54 points. Okay, 54. Oh my gosh, LeBron and AD only combined for 40. But here's the reason why I'm combining in Schroeder, because I did some quick math, and if you do the same thing with Kawhi Leonard, Paul George,
Serge Ibaka.
I know, but I got to do Paul Beverly because he's got 10 points. Because
because
they combined for 69 points.
sexy.
No, but sexy. Honestly, but jokes aside, it's 40 points LeBron and AD compared to Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, 59 points.
There you go.
59
you go.
Points, man. And like,
and Serge had more than 10. So you're saying Pat Bev's 10 made 69, which I like, obviously.
But
I don't know if you know
73.
This.
There's 73 you throw in Serge. I just did the quick math because I was like, oh my gosh, it's 59. Who got 10 points? So I could tell.
Well,
Chris,
this is a very interesting sidebar as well.
Yeah.
I learned a lot about Coach Ty Lue in this Andrew Greif article.
Yeah,
but what a lot of fans don't know about Chris Wilde, I love 69.
I'm a big fan of it, and I know a lot of people. I know a lot of people who love to say like, "Oh, you make that joke, but you don't like it. No one likes it." I'm like, "What are you talking about?
No one likes it.
I can't concentrate. Shut up.
69.
Anyway, we can't. Let's not go further. This is not the Clipcast sexy talk show. This is a basketball podcast.
No, it isn't. As long as you refuse to be a top tech director. This is also not going to be Clipcast sexy talk.
Look, man, LeBron James looked nice tonight a couple of times. There was a moment near the end of the half where they were really chipping away at our lead, where he muscled it in two possessions in a row right near the end of the quarter. They were heating up like 4 minutes left to quarter. Then LeBron James, literally like a freight train, came down and just took a basket. Came back, took another basket.
Sure.
And we were only up two at the half. And frankly, it could have been worse than that, except that Pat did hit his three at that point, which put us back up six. We held on to it. And at the half, I sat back and said to myself, because I watched the game by myself.
Sure.
I was watching the game at the half. I said, you know what? Considering everything going on and the way that the Lakers are favored and the way that they just won the championship and everything else, if we don't hold this lead, and I didn't text you this because I didn't want to put it out there like the secret and manifest it. Like, if we don't hold this lead, I'm still going to feel encouraged that we came out and got a huge lead in the beginning of the game with all these new guys. But man, we held on. And I think there's something very interesting to be said. I should go to our Clipper feed on Twitter so that I can shout out the player that said it. Like, Doc Rivers might have lost that game when it got tied.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
He really might. Here we go. Eduardo Alonso. Shout out Eduardo Alonso. If this was Doc Rivers' team, that lead would have faded and never recovered. That's a big plus for me. Let's go.
Well, when the Clippers did lose.
Except he meant to say Clippers Nation, I'm sure.
Clippers Nation is. That's why if you hashtag Clipper Nation, there's no logo anymore.
It's Clippers Nation. There's multiple Clippers.
They're making the official change to Clippers Nation. But also, if I went to Twitter and after the Clippers lost that 22-point lead to only have a narrow 2-point lead. Oh, Twitter was lit up about here come the regular old Clippers. Even Joey Lynn, who I absolutely adore, and if you are a member of Clippers Nation, you must follow at Joey Lynn for
such a
wonderful
shout out.
Look into the psyche and soul of the Clipper fan. But even he said it only took the Clippers a half of basketball to blow their first 20-point lead of the season. And then Farbod chirps in and goes, a quarter. So, I mean, people, our own faithful, were going, well, here we go. We lost a 20-point lead. Now, that being said,
I got to do a correction and retraction. I read this wrong on Twitter. It was Rudy Zavala. at Raz 49ers, who said, if this was Doc Rivers' team, that lead would have faded and never recovered. That's a big plus for me. Let's go, Clipper Nation. It was Rudy Zavala. Shout out, Rudy Zavala. That tweet was liked by Eduardo Alonso, so I retract that. Go ahead.
Are you retracting your Eduardo Alonso shout out? That's my question to you.
I'm now shouting out his retweet, but you go ahead.
Well, I'd like to officially shout out Eduardo Alonso since you just retracted it, and I'd like to name Eduardo Alonso Henry Dittmann's player of the
game. No way. He's my fan of the game.
So listen, I'll tell you something. I knew we were going to win this game. I obviously am a big-time homer, and I love this new ClipCast mantra of only ClipCasting after W's.
Fun.
I don't know if we can keep it up 72 regular season
W's.
We'll
win so many games, we'll be exhausted, but we're going to try.
We've only got 71 left to go before the postseason. But I'll tell you something. Yes, we came out of the gate hot. Yes, we went cold in the second quarter for the first half of the second quarter, but Ty Lue impressed me with a couple of key timeouts to stop the bleeding. And I love the fact that the L word on their special, special night, they never led. The Clippers, even though we lost the lead, we never actually technically never lost the, I mean, we was tied, okay? So yes, it was a tie game twice, three times, 0-0, 75-75. I think it was tied one other time. But we led them from quarter to quarter, from the buzzer to buzzer. It was our game to win. Yeah. It was our game to lose. We looked like the better team. We truly did. And I know I'm a homer. And I don't understand how Kenny can just say it's just one game. Well, your job is to analyze the one game you just watched.
Yeah, really.
So
I couldn't believe it.
Tell me what you learned.
He couldn't look at the monitor and see that Paul George was up next. It was crazy. I want to say something else. Like, remember, let's go back to the things that had me worried. And one of the things that had me worried, during our offseason when we lost, we talked about this before. I was more sad about losing Jermichael than I was about losing Montrez.
Right.
But it was like we lost Montrez and Jermichael. We got Serge Ibaka, and I was like, okay. Oof. But then they got Marc Gasol, and I said at the beginning of the game that really worries me because Marc Gasol is like such a great defender. Oops! In the third quarter, he got his fifth foul and he had to sit. Oops!
Well, I don't remember who it was that I heard this say. I don't know who it was who said this, but I'm just gonna go out and say that it was Eduardo Alonso who said this. But the L word got significantly shorter. And the thing that gave a lot of people problems in the bubble was their length. And JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard are tall, beanpole, strong dudes and long dudes. Montrezl Harrell is undersized. Marc Gasol is 7 foot, but he's not as long as Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. So they lost a lot of their length. They obviously lost Green. They lost Rondo. These guys were crucial guys in the bubble. They did not impress me after one game. And the good news is, I don't know. I don't have the schedule in front of me. I assume that we're playing them 4 times in the regular season, even though it's a truncated 72-game season. I assume we're going to see them 4 times. I'm only going to give a crap about them literally 3 more times. So tonight, there were 2 games, but in the Pacific Division, that's right, Pacific Division rivals, the Golden State Warriors, were up, and they got their asses handed to them by the Brooklyn Nets. And then our division and hallway rivals, the Los Angeles L Word, fell to the Clippers. The Clippers are alone atop the Pacific Division, as well as the Western Conference, at 1-0. Yes, it is just one game, but by God, it's good to be the one seed. Now, let's just dip our toes into, because you brought his name up, Jermichael Green. We're going to see him Christmas Day. We just faced a former employer in Montrezl Harrell, and we shamed him.
Yeah.
What are we going to do to J. Mike on Christmas? Nuggets, Clippers. If you listen to the TNT knuckleheads, they obviously like the Nuggets from everything I could decipher from what they said about how the Nuggets were great and the Blazers were great and the Lakers were great. Meanwhile, the team that won, not even in your top 3 or 4. Come on, guys. So what do you think we're looking at Christmas Day? Another W? Are we going to ClipCast afterwards? Talk to me, Burbank.
Well, look, man, that's a little far ahead for me to say and to look at. That is our next game. Am I right? We don't have any games between now
our
and then.
Our very next game, Friday, Christmas Day. I believe we're the last game of the night, and I can't wait for it.
Look, we had something to prove tonight, right? We had something to prove tonight. What's the most dangerous NBA player on the court?
One with his chipped shoulder.
Yes, with a chip upon his rascally shoulder. Sure. I'm gonna call the Clippers in a close one. I think we're gonna start to see, in the same way that we have seen Clippers teams of recent years wipe away old incarnations and interpretation of who the Clippers were, I think that we are going to start now with wiping away some of the things that happened in the bubble. And so this is our chance. And I think that we can beat them. I do think we can beat them. I'm scared. I'm scared to call the win because let me be clear about this. I didn't call one single win in the postseason. And then the first game we lost in the series versus Denver was one where I said, I think we're going to win the next game. And then we lost the next three. So before I even finish the sentence, let me say this. I don't know who's going to win that game. I hope we do.
Oh, gosh. I'll tell you who's going to win. We're going to win. And I agree with you. The Clippers had a lot to prove versus the L word because the whole world wanted that LA Western Conference Finals down in Disney World. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
But they got a hell of a lot more to prove versus the team that they had double-digit leads in games 5, 6, and 7 and couldn't finish. So, I think it's basically the same core guys for the Clippers. I'm pretty sure the Nuggets are pretty similar. I think they did make an upgrade. Don't quote me. They did make an upgrade, and we'll find out Christmas when we see them. This is not Nug cast. Although I do love 69 and some choice Nugs. But that's another cast. Anyway, we do have a lot to prove. And I think, honestly, we really pound them like we did and go up like double digits. But now we don't have Doc. And now it's not, you know, the bubble. And I think it's just going to be an annihilation.
I mean, dude, at the end of the day, all bets are off now that we have a coach that will make adjustments. I've just never seen anything like that in my life, like we saw last postseason.
Graphic.
And it was like, I think of that famous meme of Doc Rivers looking dumbfounded. You know that one?
Screaming internally.
And then just like looking like, huh? Huh? And that's how I feel. That's how we all were feeling. And that's what he was doing through that postseason run, that collapse. And so I really feel like anything can happen.
We saw it as Clipper fans. Doc Rivers blow a 3-1 lead twice.
Yeah.
And then he also did it when he was at Orlando.
Yeah.
So
he's the only coach to do it three times. He's the only coach to do it.
Ty Lue, photographic memory, like a steel trap. It's like our coach's Columbo in the ruffled trench coat. Just one more thing, Kawhi. One more thing there, Paul George, before I let you go. I don't know. That's a real dated reference.
That's pretty bad.
But I think Paul Scheer is going to like that. I think Paul Scheer is
going to
like that.
Oh, what's
Columbo
up, Paul
drop.
Scheer? You know you love this win, Paul Scheer. Oh,
I would like
fancy.
To give a shout out to Paul Scheer's biggest fan, Eduardo Alonso, by the way. Loves Paul Scheer.
Big fan of Paul Scheer. He really is. Tweeted all the shows that Paul Scheer thinks he's been in. It was really Eduardo Alonso. Also, I really enjoyed watching Caruso kind of fumble around the court after he's the GOAT. He's the GOAT. Caruso, I mean, honestly, Kennard had a better line.
Absolutely. I hated
Kennard
seeing
had a Jack. Better line. He had one more assist and one more point. So
I hated seeing Dudley get a ring. Blech. But I did like the one thing that was nice in the ring ceremony. I think you talked about it on Twitter possibly or something. But watching Marcus Morris be super psyched for his brother, Markieff Morris, and somebody tweeted out, family's greater than everything. I'm pretty sure it was Eduardo Alonso. That really was a wonderful moment. And I thought that was fantastic to see, obviously, Marcus Morris.
It's awesome.
Be super, like, just – and you know, Marcus Morris, I remember when I interviewed him last season, and he said Clippers got a real one. He had just they had just retired his number at his alma mater. I believe he went to Kentucky or Kansas, excuse me. So regardless, I think Marcus Morris is you know, he's better paid. He's oft hailed as the better of the Morris brothers. But to see Marcus just absolutely over the moon for his brother, the newly crowned NBA champion, and on his ring ceremony, I actually liked that, which was very weird. Mixed emotions for me. Before I let you go, Hank,
we're here
in the home stretch.
Wait. I wanted to make one more very quick thing about Marc Gasol, because again, I even think in our last Clipcast, I was very vocal about how worried I was that they got him, right? Very quickly, not to really just keep kicking him while he's down. Marc Gasol in the game, he only played 12 minutes, right? Because he got in foul trouble.
Five fouls in 12 minutes?
One rebound.
Ooh.
One assist.
Go.
0 points.
Geech.
Our center, our backup center. Yeah, our backup center got 6 rebounds and 11 points. Our starting center got 6 rebounds and 15 points. And our lowest scoring starter, Nicholas Batum, only got 3 points, but he got 6 rebounds and 6 assists. Pat Beverly got 6 rebounds, and he's so much smart. Like, it's just, it really, like, it was pretty exciting to see that that Gasol pickup, which I thought was a death nail for us, actually was not so bad. We played very well against him and got him into foul trouble, so I feel better. So anyway, what did you want to say one last thing? Sorry to cut you off.
Not at all. There was one stretch where the game got a little tighter. The Clippers extended the lead. It was maybe single digits, but high single digits. Maybe we're up 7, maybe we're up 8. And we just got 4, maybe even 5 offensive rebound after offensive rebound. And it just almost humiliated the champs on their special night. And I know you know what I'm talking about. I think Pat Bev grabbed an offensive rebound during that. Kawhi Leonard grabbed an offensive rebound during that. It may have been 4. But it, I mean, to see... I'm telling you, that's something you just didn't see with Doc Rivers' Clippers. A stretch where you get 3 or 4 offensive rebounds in a row is very rare, and we got to see it on opening night. And
we had a real run there where we were getting stops on the defensive end and running to the other end and scoring. I mean, like, listen, Schroeder had 12 rebounds. It's pretty great, but consistently we just outplayed these dudes from buzzer to buzzer, and it was very exciting to watch.
Do you have the box score in front of you now?
Not the limited one, the one that just has minutes, rebounds, assists, and points, not the full detail.
All right, so how many guys were in double digits for the Clippers, please?
6.
Oh, come on. That's that magic number, baby.
You love it.
If you get 6 guys in double digits, you get a Clipper W every time.
And they only had 5. And I'm telling you, we just contained them. Anthony Davis, 18
points. We were deeper.
LeBron James, 22. Yeah.
We were absolutely deeper. All right. So, okay, you've got it in front of you. I'm going to guess, not looking at anything, who our Clippers double-digit scorers were based on this past Clipcast and everything you've said and what I watched in the game.
Do it.
Obviously, my Henry Dittman's player of the game, they call him Butter because he's so smooth. He's the Eduardo Alonso of the Los Angeles Clippers. He's Paul George.
You got it.
30 big ones. Paul George, PG-13, that's one. Kawhi Leonard, you told me they combined for 59 points. So that means, quick math, 29 points for the Claw.
26
There's
points.
Two guys.
26 points. Paul George had 33.
Oh, my bad. Yes, 33. You're absolutely right. Yeah, 33 points for PG-13. Thank you for that fix, Hank. 33 for Paul George. That's double digits. 26 for Kawhi Leonard. Great combined superstar night for our two superstars at 59 points. So those are your two guys in double digits. I know Serge Ibaka got there real early. He had 12 points early in the game, so I know he had double digits.
Yep, ended with 15. Go ahead.
Pat Beverly had 10 points to get that combined 3-69.
You got it.
So there's Pat Bev. It's got to be Zubats with an excellent night getting in double digits. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're correct. 11 points. One more.
And of course, sweet Lou Williams.
Yeah, what is notable here, buddy, is that all of those 6 players, except for one, were Clippers last season.
Oh, yeah. Chemistry.
Okay, so that's very nice. All our guys showing up. In a very nice way. I like it a lot.
And you know, based on what you saw tonight, Pat Patterson could potentially have a breakout game. And then certainly Nicholas Batum. And certainly Dookie Luke Kennard.
Yeah, buddy. This is what I was going to say a second ago. I mean, you go back to some of these, like, franchise... You're not going to want me to use this as an example, but I'm going to. Some of these, like, these three-peat Lakers teams and three-peat Bulls teams of the, you know, of Phil Jackson's runs... Rick Fox didn't have great games every single game. Steve Kerr didn't have great games every single game. These guys would show up when they needed a Paxson. They wouldn't have great games every single game. They'd show up and have one great game. That's what you need.
That's what you need.
That's what you need. So it let you like, yeah, okay, we want Luke to come out a little stronger. I believe in Pat coming in and being a guy. I feel like Pat is a little bit less about his overall box score. And it's a little bit more, first of all, about intangibles, but it's also about you put Patrick Patterson in a game. And I would say that there's an
he's going to hit a 3.
There's an even money chance that he's going to hit He's going to hit two out of his first three threes and get a stop.
Sure.
Like, he's a guy that you put in and
he hit a big one tonight. You talked about it. He hit a big one tonight.
He gives you immediate results every single time you put him on the floor. So we're going to see with Luke Kennard. He's finding his
way. And I'll tell you something. Ty Lue, his coaching, he did not let – clearly a player who runs very hot and cold. He did not let a cold Reggie Jackson – back on the court for a minute of the second half.
How about that? How about that? We didn't keep putting guys in that were having bad. How about that? Adjustments?
Right? That's a big doc difference. That's a big doc difference for photographic memory. Coach Colombo, Ty Lue.
Can I tell you another big Ty Lue difference?
Yeah, just one more thing, Hank. One more thing.
I feel pretty sure we'll have at least one practice between now and our next freaking game.
Oh my God! After every win, no, we're not. There's no practice for the next 3 months. What if I can't learn how to coach on a Beverly Hills golf course? I don't want to know.
One more thing, Doc.
What is it, Ty Colombo Lue?
I think it's a weird bit, Doc. I think it's a very odd bit.
I think it's a weird bit, Chris Wilde. Clippers Nation, congratulations on this big win. You deserve it. I think every one of us breathed a huge sigh of relief. We get to strut around here for a couple of days, and yes. I hope you enjoy your lead up to the Christmas holiday. I hope you enjoyed your I hope you enjoy your Kwanzaa coming up. I hope you enjoyed your Hanukkah.
I hope your Hanukkah was lit. It's lit.
There was a moment when Kawhi Leonard leaned down to dribble the ball in a free throw, and it looked like the patterns.
Oh my God, it looked like a menorah.
It looked like a menorah, the patterns of his cornrows.
I saw that.
I think we're all looking forward to Christmas Day, but for the next 3 days, enjoy the beautiful Christmas present of a Clippers win over the championship Lakers. Congratulations.
Best team in the NBA. And then the other best team in the NBA, DeAndre Jordan. And Landry Gosharnett's Nets. Come on, guys.
Come on. They're looking good.
All right, well, I guess you guys are going to hear from us after the next W, which hopefully will be on Boxing Day in Canada, the day after Christmas. But, gosh, it is great to be back.
Oh, yeah. We missed you. We missed you, fans. Go ahead. Hey, share our link. Share us, like us, review us. Give us 5 stars all the places that you can. And in the meantime, we'll get ready to give you another great Clipcast after the next Clippers win. Go Clippers. Toot, toot.
Oh, yeah. And if you don't mind, I know you've tooted the horn now multiple times. Toot, toot. I tried not to draw too much attention
toot,
to it.
Toot.
But old Burbank, Hank, if you could just do me the favor and, well, we're the best team in the league. If you could just go ahead and just sound the horn for me there, Burbank.
Oh, wow, man. So good to be back.